This Dharma Talk is brought to you by the Chicago Zen Meditation Community. Learn about us and our teacher, Miyoshi Thompson, at zenchicago.org.
We have the picture of Katagiri Roshi on the altar because last week on Thursday was the anniversary of his death. And so we're memorializing him as we practice tonight. And then also, Sesshin will start the 15th of March, on the Ides of March. And in this Sesshin, I'm going to be teaching about Sekito Kisen's poem, The Song of the Grass Hut. It's a very famous Zen poem written kind of like 900 AD. And I won't read it all to you now, but I will tell you the last line. The last line is, if you want to know the undying person in the hut, do not separate from this skin bag here and now. This skin bag. And I hope that line raises some questions in your mind. Like, undying person? That's a new one. And what's this hut about anyway? Well, you'll have to join Sesshin to have the answers to those questions. And if you want to join Sesshin, which is a longer meditation retreat that we'll have this weekend, just let me know. But tonight I want to focus on that instruction, do not separate from this skin bag here and now. And we might ask, isn't that impossible? How do I separate from this skin bag anyway? But it's not at all impossible. In fact, we do it automatically all the time. The real question is, how could I stop separating from this skin bag here and now? Do you think that you are sitting here, that there is a person named you who is doing a sitting here? Are you sitting here and thinking about there? Or what you will do later? If you are, you've separated from this skin bag. You're not wholeheartedly present. Do not separate means to act wholeheartedly in the here and now, without a lot of ego involvement, unencumbered by our normal image of a person who is doing something right or doing something wrong, as if there were two things, a person apart from the doing. Wholehearted means no divisions. And this is a very expansive suggestion for Zazen and for our daily life. Just take care of this. No divisions. This is a cornerstone of the teaching of our great teacher, our first ancestor in America, Dainin Katagiri. And of course, tonight we celebrate him, the anniversary of his death 34 years ago. So I want to read you some of Katagiri's teaching later. But the aspect of his teaching that I want to take up tonight is a very practical expression of that last line from Song of the Grass Hut. Do not separate from this skin bag. Katagiri Roshi taught that Zen is practicing full concentration with no attachment. No attachment means not trying to hold on to anything, any experience, any object, not grasping for something that's out there, not going after something we feel we need, or trying to hold on to something that is important to us, even though we know that whatever we're grasping for is changing at every moment and will not be the same for even a moment. Attachments arise because we're trying to cure ourselves of an illness. Buddha pointed to attachment. Sometimes it's called clinging or grasping. He pointed to it as one of the most powerful causes of suffering. But actually, the illness is even deeper than that. Attachment is what we do to try to cure ourselves of our illness. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the leper who stood at the edge of a burning pit of charcoal. This was from the early sutras. And the sutra describes a man with open sores on his skin, whose skin is infested with worms, and who's been picking at the wounds with his nails. If you ever wanted to separate from a skin bag, that would be the one. The pain of his illness was so great that he turned to the self-torture of extreme heat as a way to distract himself from it, as a way to feel better. And we have this underlying illness that we turn to attachment to save us from. Our illness is that we've created a gaping wound in the world. The way we live our lives normally, I am forever separate from you and from everything else. I sit here alone, you sit there alone, and we're isolated, alienated from everything else in the world. This is the gaping wound that we create as we relate to the world. Attachments are our way of dealing with our traumatic separateness, as if we could heal our brokenness by holding tightly to what we think is out there. Attachment is our kind of feeble way of making up for our isolation, our impoverishment. Katagiri Roshi taught that there was a better way to deal with that separateness. He thought that Zen is here so that we can learn to act and be in the world without separation, unselfconsciously. He felt that our task as Zen people is to open-heartedly take care of all of it, to join with all of it, both as subject, to take care of both subject and object equally. So his instruction was, don't make a self that is more important than everything else. Act without manufacturing an ego and holding that in your mind as you act. If we do that, then no attachments will be necessary. We won't have to cling to anything because we won't be alienated from anything. If we can fully enter into our lives, we can just drop our attachments and do whatever presents itself to us right here and now. It sounds a little like magic, but really, it's just basic Zen. It's how we take Zazen off the cushion. It tells us a lot about our Zazen. It's the same as taking the Heart Sutra off the cushion. The Heart Sutra, you know, talks about emptiness. It says everything is empty of self. The true nature of everything is that it doesn't really have a self. Nothing is independent. The Heart Sutra is based on this teaching of the Buddha called dependent co-arising. This teaching is that everything in every moment is being conditioned and brought into being by everything else. There's no separation anywhere. This teaching is that everything kind of shows up as an instantaneous chain reaction. Simultaneously, everything comes into being. It's like everything is in the transporter, and it's always on the verge of coming out of the pattern buffer. And everything sizzles into being simultaneously. It doesn't sizzle all the way to solidity the way it does on Star Trek. It's actually always just about to appear, always sizzling, because everything is constantly changing, and it's changing in response to the change that is everything else. So the real nature of the world of the Heart Sutra that tells us about emptiness, is that it's always sizzling just before the level of having separate beings. And the Heart Sutra tells us that's the way the world is. But that world is way too complex for our sized brains to handle. That way is too uncertain to allow us to figure out how to take action in the world. Mary last week explained how we deal with the unmanageable complexity that really is our life. She told us that our left hemisphere kicks in and it simplifies everything. It simplifies all of this sizzling reality into names and concepts. It comes in and it makes things out of what is actually a very fluid process that's always going on. Once our left brain steps in, then there's a me and there's a you. Out of pure swirling activity, we bring individual beings. We have to. Otherwise, life would dematerialize back into the ineffable, the primordial soup. There would be no trees. There would be no fruit on the trees. There would be no optic nerve to show us where the fruit is or the non-fruit is. There would be no opposable thumbs. There would be no hunger. There would be no grasping. There would be no eating. There would be no separate beings at all. And the Heart Sutra says, that's the way things really are. But it's too much for us to handle. So we create these familiar worlds that are populated with our ideas about things, ideas that don't change. So we can live in it easily with brains the size of the brains that we have. Talking about the world of the Heart Sutra, the world where nothing has its own being. Nothing is a self, everything is constant change, totally co-arising with everything else. It seems like this is a kind of esoteric metaphysics. But actually, there's some practical instruction that comes out of this. Non-self, this concept, is actually an instruction to us. It means do not imagine a self. Don't encumber everything you do with all of your selfie preoccupations. Oh, is this good for me? Is this going to get me what I want? What will happen if it doesn't? That's separating from this skin bag here and now. The instruction that comes out of this is just completely be. Enter into the body, the feeling, the perception, without adding any idea of self, without adding any idea of anything separate. So Katagiri Roshi had a great, straightforward way of putting this into practice. And I'd like to read to you from his book, a collection of his talks called You Have to Say Something. And so this was his attempt to say something about the world of the Heart Sutra. To practice Zen in everyday life, you must pay attention to the existence of others. To practice our way, you have to practice with all sentient beings. Zen in everyday life and everyday life in Zen are not two different things. They are one. Just like a Japanese folding fan. This kind of fan consists of two parts, the upper part that folds and the lower part that pivots. The pivot is like the original teaching of Zen, practicing full concentration and no attachment. But it doesn't make sense to think of a fan that is just a pivot without the part that unfolds. The pivot must be able to unfold into a fan. In other words, the pivot must be open to daily life, not just your daily life, but the daily life of others as well. In this way, the fan as a whole, that is, your practice works pretty well. It will help you and others to become one with the earth, with nature, and with all things. Zen teaching must unfold like this fan. When Zen is unfolded, immediately there appear many dimensions to life. Zen teaching must be alive in all of them. As I said, Zen teaches full concentration and no attachment. This might seem paradoxical. Full concentration means to throw yourself completely away. This sounds negative. Forget yourself and jump completely into Zazen. But this negative expression of human life manifests in the affirmative, that is, in no attachment. No attachment means peaceful, harmonious life. If you study Zen, you will find many seemingly paradoxical expressions. For instance, we say, see the flower without seeing it. But how can you do that? How can you see the flower if you are not seeing it? Dogen Zenji says, when you let go of everything, you get everything in your hand. This is the real teaching of Zen. The point is not to make you confused. Explanations of Zen seem paradoxical, but Zen itself is not paradoxical. You can experience this directly. Why do we practice full concentration and no attainment? Do you believe it is because you have to train yourself and deepen your life? That's part of the reason. But the practice of full concentration and no attainment is not just for yourself. It is for all sentient beings. Do you believe that you can have a clear and serene mind in Zazen while ignoring the lives of others? You cannot. The sense that your practice is just your individual practice is really egoistic. You ignore people who, like you, want to have peaceful, harmonious lives. You only focus on your peaceful, harmonious life. And this is a big mistake. During World War II, the Japanese government used to motivate people to throw themselves into the war. When you go to war, concentrate on killing people. This will bring success. This will support Japan. But does Japan exist alone in the universe? No, of course not. Don't misunderstand Zen teaching. A partial understanding can be very dangerous. You might then use Zen teaching to support your ego. If you would love Japan, you must love Japan and America and all countries, regardless of what race and culture their people belong to. You have to love all human beings. Then you can put Zen teachings into practice in the world. Then Zen teaching can really work in peace and harmony. I'm interested in hearing your reactions to that writing by Katagiri or any of the talk that I gave before that. I just want to observe before we break for discussion that Katagiri's instructions about how to do Zen in everyday life are actually pretty good instructions for how to do Zazen in Zendo. We don't do it alone. By ourselves, for ourselves. If we were to believe that, look at all the things we would have to ignore. We would have to ignore the person sitting next to us. We would have to ignore the cushions that are enabling us to do Zazen. Aren't they doing Zazen just as much as we are? Isn't the person next to you doing your Zazen as much as you are? Katagiri's instructions about Zen in everyday life and about Zen on the cushion are that we can't get lost in our ideas of self. We have to give our full attention to what's here with no attachments, without getting stuck in I'm doing this and he's doing that, and I'm right and he's wrong, and what is so-and-so going to think of me? That is all how we separate from this skinde. And Katagiri's teaching was that far from doing that, our practice is to join with this skin bag and every other skin bag for the good of all beings. This is what he means by full concentration and no attachment.